folks. Get Out the Room is back. Get Out the Room, episode 125. Get Out the Room. We are a horror pop culture podcast. We talk about anything we like because we like it. I am your host, Day, and as always, I got my people with me. Scott, what's going on, man? A couple days for your birthday, brother.
That's number 36.
36? You're young.
Oh, man, man, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. 36, man. It's good. I always tell people, and I don't mean this to sound sacrilegious, but that's what it, how it always comes out. I go, the two most important birthdays are 2 days in a row. 25th is Jesus, and of course, me on the 26th.
And no, just wildly arrogant, but I mean, it's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, me and Jesus, we in the same, you mentioned us in the same breath, dog. We in the same league. Yeah. Lord and Savior.
Right, me. y'all should celebrate me the same way.
No. Oh, see, now I didn't say that. I just said it's an important day.
Oh, man. Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the greatest Caribbean hero, Tone, how are we out there?
Oh, man. It's silly season, the holidays. There's a time of the year when, like, I could use a couple more hours. Like, I gotta get some more clients. And I hit this time of the year, and I'm like, don't talk to me. Fuck you. No, I'm not taking no more clients. Forget you got my number.
Wow.
I'm there now.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's one way. So, yeah. You can find Get Out the Room anywhere good podcasts are found. That would be Apple, Google, Stitcher, Podomatic. I don't know if the Wicked Radio Network is still a thing. Not sure. I should check on it.
You said that like a year ago, too.
I know. Like, and if they are still around, shout out to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. They just clicked us off it. Yeah.
Right. That shit's gone now. So yeah. We this is like a really weird time because we didn't think we were actually gonna get the show up. But then
let's just pause for a second and just think about how we've blessed the audience though, because goddamn well you get a Halloween show if you're lucky. And we might give that to you 2 weeks late. And then that's it. You don't see us till fucking present.
You might get the Halloween show in December. Yeah.
True.
This year, y'all got blessed. Do you have 25 episodes this year?
Wait, did we do 25 episodes, really?
Maybe 20.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, we did almost 9 or 10 just on Lovecraft.
Yeah, absolutely. In a row, on the dot. Like, it was our job.
Right. Like, who's getting paid for this free shit? Yeah. Like, they got a lot. A lot. So, you know, shout out to us. Fuck all that. Shout out to us.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this has been a strange year. This has not been a year that I think any of us saw coming into it. But to be very honest, the media has been when I say media, I mean films,
entertainment.
Yeah. That's been a highlight. Like, we've seen shit that we never thought we'd see again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or ever in the same space at the same time. You know, when you hear somebody say, there's no way that I can bring all of this old nostalgia that you like, plus introduce new ways of looking at this particular universe. And we watched Jon Favreau do it masterfully.
Man.
I mean, he and Kevin Feige, like, those motherfuckers, they're just carrying the weight of everybody on their shoulders right now.
Oh, for real. Like, people forget, but it was Jon that gave us, he's the one who blessed us with the Iron Man, man.
Right.
He gave us,
did you see the, did you see that meme? Somebody's got a meme online that has, it's Jon Favreau, directed Will Ferrell. Instant Christmas classic, because everybody loves Elf. Elf is like a cult classic. It is. And that's Jon Favreau.
Not even cult. It's a classic.
Yeah. Well, and then Jon Favreau directs Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man, and then it's like launches the MCU. And then Jon Favreau directs Pedro Pascal and The Mandalorian and saves Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's it. It's just like up in a row. Here, I'll send it to you guys.
I've seen it. And the thing is, I don't think it's a stretch.
No, it's not.
I don't feel like it's a me. Like, it's information.
No, he's a real dude. The dude can he can just direct. I mean, some people just have it.
He's a nerd. He's a nerd who is making shit we want to see.
Yeah, he is. But on top of that, you know, obviously, he's been in movies for so long that he understands how to make them, how to frame them, what people want. And he also recognizes that there's some shit that's not right for him. So instead, he just decided to make shit his way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and he, you know, he is a talented writer. I mean, the dude is not a hack. I mean, it's not just that he's a nerd. He clearly is. Correct. I love that. Correct. But he is a talented writer. He's a talented actor. And it's a special kind of thing when someone can bring in, you know, all within the same industry, where they can bring in, like, when they can look at a situation from every side. You know, he's not just looking at shit as a writer. He's not just looking at it as a director or as a performer. He's looking at all, you know, all three sides. That's a special kind of synergy.
He seems very adept at understanding the needs of the audience. You know, I think to Scott's point of him being a nerd, that is an important piece of the sausage making, right?
Yeah.
But I think the other thing is he's also exceptional at the technical shit.
Oh, yeah.
Exceptional. You know, not like kind of good. Like, this motherfucker is really, really good. Even if you look at what he did with Iron Man, he's way better now than he ever was then.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, Iron Man's still one of the best MCU films, though.
Sure. I mean, I don't think anybody would.
No.
Yeah, no, are you?
At least not loudly.
Right. Not unless you want to get embarrassed in front of their mama. You know what I mean? What did Charlie Murphy tell you? Challenge him.
Into it now.
Make sure your people's there. Right? I mean, that's just how it looks. That's how it goes. So let's just start. We'll start right from here. The second season of The Mandalorian has been the... Can we say the highlight of 2020? Other than Trump getting voted out?
I mean,
oh, y'all thought I was going to wait a little while?
No. We can't say the highlight because come on. What brought us together was the fucking Lovecraft Country.
I was just going to say, so if
I was thinking more above us, right?
Well, I look at it like this.
Fuck it, it's our show. Don't matter.
Well, if I'm describing this, I would say this. I think Lovecraft was the best. Yeah. Mandalorian is my favorite.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And
I wouldn't even make that distinction. I don't want to say I wouldn't put the two in competition, but I don't want to do one better than the other because I feel that. I feel Mandalorian is just as good as Lovecraft Country.
I guess what I mean though is, I mean, even at the end of the day, The Mandalorian is still a very basic story, and it was told within 8 episodes, and it took a little time to start. I remember, the first episode is one of the best of the entire season, and
you think the first episode of season 2?
Yeah, with the Krayt dragon.
Okay.
I mean, I would even argue that 4 of the 8 episodes are, I would give probably 10 out of 10 to.
Yeah, maybe 3 for me.
But, and then the others are various stages of, because I mean, I think the weak episode is the one with the frog lady with the ice spiders.
Yeah, yep.
That's a little weak. And I mean, again, I say a little weak.
It's also the shortest runtime of any of them, too.
Now, I think the Boba Fett episode is shorter. That episode was really short.
I think it just feels really short.
Because it was so fast?
Yeah.
Let's see. But no, I mean, the first episode, I think, is almost an hour, and that's the only one Favreau directed.
Yep.
And then Favreau, I'm looking at the thing here. Favreau directed and wrote episode one. He wrote episode two. He wrote three, four. The one with Ahsoka was written and directed by Dave Filoni, which makes sense.
Because that's his series.
So Filoni wrote, that's the only one Filoni wrote, and it's the only one he directed. John Favreau wrote six, he wrote eight. And then Rick Fumiyiwa wrote number seven and directed.
Okay.
They're lining this thing up. I mean, Peyton Reed caught a lot of heat. By the way, I read an article where people, like, there's a group of people who aren't Peyton Reed fans, like strong, do not think he's a talented director at all.
Yeah, I understand that.
Let's see. Oh, Robert Rodriguez directed an episode. Carl Weathers directed an episode.
Pretty good one too.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Bryce Dallas Howard directed another episode. She did one in the first season.
She did. And it was a good episode too.
It was. And this one, the one she directed here was the first, when we met Bo-Katan.
Yep. I liked that episode a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had said about four of them. The first episode's great with Cobb Vanth and the Krayt Dragon. The one with Ahsoka is phenomenal. The one with Boba Fett is phenomenal, and then the final episode is phenomenal.
Final episode, man.
Final episode. I think my jaw dropped the same way it did when Captain America caught the hammer in Endgame, or when all of them are like on your left and everybody started walking through the portals. I mean, it was like that. It was kind of like, wow, they really hit the fucking gas on this, and they just said fuck it and drove right through the sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't playing.
They weren't playing at all.
Huh.
Not was, playing.
And every beat was, it was just the reveal. Then, we've already been spoiling episodes. So, right at the end, I mean, X-Wing lands. You see X-Wing, you kind of go, wait a minute. X-Wing lands in the bay. You go, hold on a minute. And then dude walking down in a cloak. Okay. Dude fighting with a lightsaber. You're going, I think they're going to do it. And then they show a green lightsaber and you go,
that was it. As soon as you see the green lightsaber, you knew what it was. You know, and I was watching my wife.
There's nobody else it could have been. And like something that they did purposely that I'm not sure everybody caught, that shit mirrors perfectly the Vader scene in Rogue One.
Yep.
Remember, Vader came in. It was a moment when we really got to see Vader at his peak and prime, just tear a hole through everybody. And we see the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Luke came in, just fucking everybody up.
Like, as much, like, you know how hard it was for Mando to take one of them down?
Right. And we're talking about Mando. Right. You know, I mean, a man who was feared.
As one of the baddest hand-to-hand motherfuckers out.
Luke ran
through his squad. I will say this.
Didn't break a sweat.
You know, watching the thing, for as much as I liked it, if I have to throw one nitpick out, I got
here
one.
Here we go.
Nitpick.
Here we go.
I kind of wish that we would have seen the Dark Troopers fight the group on the bridge just briefly. I just wanted to see it briefly.
Just for context.
I wanted to see it because I wanted to see. I mean, this group. There's a line that Moff Gideon says in the lead up to them punching the door and before Luke shows up. He says, "You have an impressive fire team protecting you." And I was like, they are an impressive team. I mean, it wasn't quite the all-stars of season two, but it was kind of the all-stars of season two.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to see them hold their own. Yeah, I mean, but again, we didn't really need the men. I would have liked Boba Fett to be with them.
I just would have liked to have seen Carl Weathers show up.
I was about to say, first
or Boba Fett stick with them. I wish Boba Fett was with them.
Boba had a job to do.
Every movie scene could be improved with Carl Weathers.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is, briefly meaning, look, if they had fought the Dark Troopers, at least one of those characters, probably two of them, are dying. But I think it shows a bunch of badass characters fighting these badass villains right before they get saved, like most movies would give you. You know what I mean? It happens in Lord of the Rings. You know, the heroes are about to die, and then they're saved and while they're fighting. Happened in Game of Thrones a few different times.
I guess my issue is this. They've already laid out the fact that one Dark Trooper is going to wreck shop. So a battalion of them is like just death. So like they've already established that. There's no reason for them to fight.
But in that room, you've got the Beskar spear, you've got the Darksaber, and then you got a bunch of people who are sharpshooters that probably would be aiming in between the armor.
I completely understand it. Mando almost lost his life fighting one.
I know.
Right?
I said it's a nitpick, man. I'm just nitpicking.
But look, if you're going to be nitpicking Nathan, then we need to go through this shit. My whole thing is this. They told us that one person who's the baddest motherfucker out almost lost his life. If he didn't have a Beskar fucking spear, he's dead, okay? And then on top of that, you had to show just how dope the Jedi are. The same way we forget that Darth Vader was the dopest motherfucker in the galaxy until that goddamn red boom illuminates the darkness. When you see that green and this motherfucker is at will using force power, you know, cutting motherfuckers in half, crunching, like just every single thing with ease, not out of breath. Everything looks relaxed. That is exactly what it was supposed to be. Exactly what it was supposed to be.
I mean, the scene of him running through the hallway. There's a video, by the way, Tone, you mentioned this, of how much it mimics Vader. There's a video on YouTube where somebody plays both straight through, split screen. That's pretty cool. It's one of those scenes, you know, we've seen the Jedi. I'm trying to think of another moment in Star Wars, any Star Wars that mimics that.
There are none. And here's the thing. We talk so much about the Jedi. We talk so much about the Sith. We forget how much doper they are than regular people.
Yeah.
We watch them. We hear about them. We see their adventures. They have to fight each other because any other regular motherfucker is just going to die.
Right.
Like all this is what made General Grievous interesting. He wasn't a Sith, yet he still killed Jedi. That's why he's exciting.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So, you know, I do not like the de-aged thing. I think that was unnecessary.
So I think.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, not at all. And I think, again, the fact that the Jedi are largely a myth in the Star Wars universe, it tells you, one, how rare they are, and two, I mean, look, man, if you never even seen a Jedi before and you hear some bullshit about somebody walking around with a sword made of light who picked somebody up with their bare hand, picked somebody up with their mind and then threw them across the room, you too would be like, man, this is some bullshit. It would sound like a myth, you know? And I think that sort of adds, of course, that adds to the mystery, the appeal when you see somebody like a Vader or a Luke, somebody, a Force user at the peak of their powers, really just do the literal impossible.
Yeah. Although I was kind of hoping, by the way, when he walked in and he took off his hood. He was going to say, "Hi, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you."
Nah, that's the it's not that kind of party. I will,
dude, I know, I know.
That was Sebastian Stan, right?
No, it was not.
It wasn't.
The rumor is they want him to play Luke if he pops up again.
Okay. Well, whoever that motherfucker is, he looked remarkably like Luke. Not spot on, but Jesus.
Well, so that was the thing was Favreau. They've even said it's not the deep fake, but they de-aged it. It was Mark Hamill.
Oh, so they did de-aging on Mark Hamill.
Yeah, they de-aged the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's why I was saying I was not a big fan of the de-aging.
I think
it didn't look real. I thought that what I thought is they had another actor and sort of layered Hamill's face on his, like to kind of, not a deep fake, but you know, to kind of make him look like it.
No, you remember Tron?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, it was, yeah, you know what? It does look a lot like that.
So that's Disney's de-aging technology.
I've seen it done better.
The glimpse of it is not bad though. Like right when if they the first time you see it, I'm like, okay, I'm in the
middle. Yeah, it was Grand Moff Tarkin. It's the same thing that they did with Tarkin.
So I actually thought Tarkin looked good. I didn't think Leia did in Rogue One. I thought Tarkin did.
I think because we know them too well. We know their faces. We know their features. You know, ain't nobody really tripping off Tarkin. And Tarkin was old when we saw him. So, you know, they didn't de-age him too much to take Carrie, who had lived a little life.
The Carrie scene is bad.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst. Well, Luke's right up there, though.
No, it is. Well, it doesn't do well when
I don't know. I don't think Luke looked that bad. Now, don't get me wrong. It didn't look great.
Again.
It's not that bad. Oh, dude, I watched. There's a video on there that they did a deep fake on it. The deep fake looks better. Seriously.
I'm not surprised. De-aging isn't gonna work as good when they're like structural changes, you know. So like Luke, I'm calling motherfucker Luke, right? Mark Hamill.
Structural changes.
It is, he's Luke, though.
Yeah, I know, right? So like Luke and Leia both, like, their faces look different now. You know, everybody knows about the accident that Luke got into, and then Leia has gone through like rapid weight loss and gain over and over and over and over and over again because of her demons and whatnot, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. But their faces aren't the same shape. Different when you got somebody like, if you have somebody like Angela Bassett, who does look older than she did in the 90s, but not by much. If you were to de-age her, she would probably look pretty much the fucking same.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been a structural change in her face. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like Mark Hamill looked different from the first movie to the third. Like, very different.
Right.
Well, he looked different in damn near all three of them.
True indeed. Yeah, I don't think that's against. I don't think anybody argued there.
And he hasn't aged very great. I mean, he doesn't look bad now, but
he doesn't look bad.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, compared to what?
I mean, how old is he? Like what? Late 60s?
I'm gonna say 60 something. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks all right for white folks. I mean, you know.
Oh, there it is.
No, but that's true.
It is true. Look, no disrespect. I love me some Mark Hamill, but I mean, yo.
He's 69.
Yeah, he looks
phenomenal for 69.
Come on now.
He's 70 years old. This motherfucker 3 years younger than my mother.
Nigga looks fine.
This motherfucker looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to have seen old man Luke. The grizzled, bearded Luke. I think that shit would have been
amazing. I fucked with that Luke, too.
That reveal would have been amazing.
Yeah, but
obviously, time-wise, we're not that far.
Timeline, it don't work.
But I don't think he should have been that young, though, because that looks like he's fresh off of Return of the
Jedi. No.
It's 5 years after. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's 5 years after.
Years after Return of the Jedi. It's fresh.
Yeah, but to Dame's point, he did look different from the first one to the third one.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they gave us first, you know, Luke.
Yeah.
They didn't give us Luke third. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get the third chapter. We got the first chapter.
Yeah, like they de-aged him to A New Hope instead of de-aging him to just after Return of the Jedi.
There you go. Which I think would have been easier and probably would have looked a lot more realistic.
Like, I'm a Mark Hamill
fan. I might have to watch that. I might have to watch it again. I didn't think it looked as bad as that. Again,
motherfucker, you the one who started with the nitpicking. We was going to lambast this shit with Graham Plum. Don't be upset now, you open motherfucking Pandora's box. But, you know, just let's take a step back. Fantastic season.
Yes.
Pedro Pascal, we talked about in that last episode about the fact that he was upset that he didn't get enough screen time without the mask. And he had moments without that mask that were heartbreaking and fantastic all at the same time.
Right. That's all I needed. I mean, honestly, you don't need too much more.
Nope.
And by the episode's end of after seeing again, you know, I got a baby here with him taking the mask off, the little baby Yoda's touching his face, and this is right after like heavy nerd like
orgasm, nerdgasm, yeah,
nerdgasm, yeah.
Yeah.
Eric and I were both in tears.
Oh yeah, you definitely had an orgasm.
Everybody was in tears. Everybody had Kleenex. Don't trip.
I was watching it with my wife, and I was like, "They're about to. That's Luke.
Yeah,
that's Luke.
That's what I said too. I was like, oh my god, it's Luke.
I was like, that's Luke. I was like, they're really gonna do this. So I didn't cry, but I definitely felt
you didn't even shed a thug tear. Not even.
No, I didn't. I just felt warm.
Hey, you broke it.
I felt warm. I felt like this is what all of this stardom, all this shit that we talked about, this is what it's for.
Yeah, it is.
That's how I felt.
It's kind of, you know, it's really beautiful what Disney and Marvel have managed to do, because ordinarily these are the kinds of moments that fans don't get, because actors get too big to come back and play certain roles and all that other jazz. But In a way, we've kind of reverted to the old, like, MGM studio style, where, like, now Disney and Marvel are so big that they can get an Angelina Jolie and a Selma Hayek and whoever the fuck else they want to come and play a role for them. And it's dope, because it means that fans get to see shit like this.
I also think that this is like a, maybe there's a demystifying or moving of what's acceptable to the masses, right? Whereas Sigourney Weaver stood out for never letting Ellen Ripley die. But you'd be hard-pressed to have Jennifer Aniston or Johnny Depp talk about their early horror movie roles.
Johnny Depp would be a fool not to. I mean, come on. He's in an iconic role.
Glenn, I agree.
Jennifer Aniston's forgetting for an obvious reason. I mean, that movie's terrible.
Sure, I understand that. But it's almost as if you omit it from your resume.
Right.
Whereas now, if
By the way, omit it from your resume. I'm gonna make a good jump from there about a question I have for you guys.
Okay. All right. So take Boba Fett. This is not necessarily a throwaway role, but a role that didn't have a ton of meat. We now have an entire section of the Star Wars galaxy that is completely dedicated to his lore, story, and everything behind it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you were Tammy Morrison and you're like, nah, I ain't doing this shit. I'm not too big for that. This is what the fans want. And I think it's incumbent upon all fucking actors now, if you have these roles, if the fans want, you got to do it. This is what's in the best interest.
He basically said that too after the episode of Boba Fett coming out. Timora Morrison said he was like, it was awesome wearing that, doing that again.
Oh, but did you see the glow up of the armor from the episode he got it back to the next episode? That's shiny and fresh than a motherfucker. But to Tone's point,
how good did Ming-Na look on that throne though? Man,
we're not gonna talk about that.
No, we're not. No,
I'm
no.
not gonna hypersexualize that scene because
I'm just saying,
Jabba the Hutt's whole theme is already hypersexualized, right? But to get this final season where Bill Burr plays an incredible role, we see
really incredible,
like fucking Bill Burr was incredible.
He really was.
We also see Pedro Pascal show range in a way that you shouldn't be surprised by, because you've watched him, you've created a character in your mind watching this dude not take his mask off for the entire fucking two seasons. And then the past two episodes before you get down to the end, he has a show flat and he's impactful, emotional, connected, and absolutely incredible with a goddamn puppet.
Yeah.
Dude's phenomenal, man. And I don't lose sight of that shit.
It's an entirely different... It's just an entirely different world than I'm used to seeing him in, you know? And I agree that the range that he's showing is really good. And again, to think that this is something that he's doing with a puppet is a whole nother level of difficulty. The motherfucker's pulling off the triple Lindy.
Yep.
That's an old people joke. Y'all
that triple Lindy, good. Ooh, that's good. Golly. All right. So, Scott, anything else before we start going into these other 25 Star Wars projects?
So I guess there's, you know, heading out of this, we'll talk about some of the spinoffs, but there's a few things I've seen kicked around since. By the way, this is all over the internet. I mean, this has reignited the entire fan base. It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. I mean, it's
correct.
It's very exciting. People are talking again. And so questions of, I wonder what this leads to. I wonder what this leads to. So two thoughts. I had mentioned before about omitting from a resume. So there's some people think that Mandalorian is actually a different timeline because, you know, people are a little sour on the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And this might be a way for Disney to redo that without actually redoing it, because they're introduced the multiverse in Marvel. So it's hypothetical that that could be the case. Now, and this is the omit the resume comment where I'm going to, I don't think they should do that. I think they made their bed. I think they should lay in it. The movies are still featured very prominently on their Disney Plus page. They made a lot of money from them. I know that fans have now gone back and complained about the last few episodes, and, you know, I understand.
Yep.
Which has led to the next big thing that's on the internet. Well, if Luke is training Grogu and he opens a school where Ben Solo is a student, does Ben Solo kill Grogu since Grogu's not in the sequel trilogy?
Yep.
Probably.
So I think we're led to believe that. I mean, if he's not in the sequels, he probably died at that school, which, of course, the fan base is going, wait a minute, Kylo Ren killed Grogu?
Right. Who is, like, as powerful as Luke was, who as powerful as Vader was. And
As an infant.
Right. So who knows? We don't know if that's true or not.
We don't, and I also want to remind everybody, like, think about the way that the Star Wars trilogy is playing with the idea of, like, history repeating itself.
Yeah.
So Order 66 happens, Anakin goes in and kills everybody, but...
Even younglings?
Yeah.
Yep.
Not younglings!
Yeah. But Ahsoka gets away, right?
Yeah, there are a few, I mean, in the canon stories and, like, the comics and novels and the TV shows, they have... I mean, there's a handful of Jedi that are out there. And by that, I mean, there's like maybe five total, including Luke and Ahsoka. So there are remnant Jedi out there.
Right.
You know, Ezra from Rebels is out there. This guy from Fallen Order, they think, might still be out there. Some people think Mace Windu is still alive.
Yeah.
There's a handful of Jedi that could be alive in addition to who we've already seen. And then, you know, I mean, if you jump into the future even more, Rey is out there. She's the only Jedi in that, you know, at the very future.
That we know of,
right. So I'm of the belief, I hope it's not a different timeline. I hope they're just doing they're filling in the blanks right now, because I think that's admitting defeat on movies that have been successful, and you're just kind of catering to what everybody wants, too much almost. And I think this is a good way. They picked a good time in the story to tell these tales without affecting too much of what they've already laid.
Yeah, we'll see. I am very much happy with what we've seen from Mando and how it expanded the world. I've always been on record as saying that we've seen more than enough Skywalker, but if this is in the way that we use Skywalker, I'm with it. So
I agree.
Yeah, I'm happy.
That gets a third for me. Absolutely.
Right. So on coming up, this is, you know, and they may have even found a way to lessen Gina Carano. So she can go.
Well, maybe. So, one of the spinoffs could potentially feature her.
I don't know if this is going to be able to.
I don't see that happening. She's been kind of showing her ass lately, so.
No. I mean, I suspect that was the plan before recently. It's what I
mean. Yeah, I mean, like Tom said, she's been showing her ass, so she might have to sit on the shelf for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that might have been the plan before, and I don't know why she didn't just shut the fuck up.
Yep.
She was compelling. She was charming. I think a lot of people.
Cara Dune is great.
Yeah, Cara Dune's dope. Too bad she couldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm saying. Shut the fuck up.
Like, I feel bad for Letitia Wright. That Shuri about to fuck around and lose her chance to wear the fucking mantle.
I don't. It don't cost no money to shut the fuck up. It
costs no money.
100%.
No money.
Wait, hold on. What she say?
We'll get there. We get to Marvel.
Look at, yeah.
I didn't hear this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So up next, okay. Star Wars has exploded open like the Big Bang into the world.
Yep.
Mando season 3 will be happening.
Yep.
The Book of Boba Fett, which was the after credit scene that Tom was referring to with Ming-Na with Boba on.
By the way, does Ming-Na ever age? I mean,
nope.
Shit, man. No. It's the same for
she
ever.
Does.
Nope.
Ming-Na Wen does not age at all.
Wow. I mean,
she didn't make a deal with somebody.
Yeah.
It's her, Paul Rudd, fucking Blair Keanu Underwood.
Reeves. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, Blair Underwood.
Yeah, Blair for real deal. Yeah, he for real got that.
These motherfuckers made the deal.
I don't know what it is.
That shit is worth every penny, apparently. So... But yeah, so the Book of Boba Fett, we saw them sitting on Jabba the Hutt's throne. That shit looked crazy.
Dude, I bet that. I'm thinking as a, you know, from the original trilogy, I'm thinking it's going to be like focused on a lot of different bounty hunters too, but even from the original trilogy.
Could be.
That'd be cool.
We could have a true to life, you know, job of the week type, you know, score. Like,
yeah,
so
that would be very cool.
Yeah,
it
we
would
gotta,
be very cool.
Get this dude, and it's the A-team. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We could have that. And
God, that would be so fucking dope, dude.
I'm for it. You got to take my money.
Well, so, I mean, but I suspect they're going to do flashbacks to how he got out of the pit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. How he got out of the scars on his face, the whole shit.
Yeah, they're going to
flesh
that shit out. They're going to flesh that shit out for real.
Yep. So, Book of Boba Fett's going to be dope.
Yep.
I'm excited to see all of that play out, particularly in this corner of the world. We already know that Rosario Dawson signed on to play Ahsoka Town. And Ahsoka, in that series, Dave Filoni is writing and I think directing most of the stuff there.
Yeah. So I think Favreau cleared up a little bit of that. So, Boba Fett's going to be the two of them again, like it is for Mando.
Okay.
Ahsoka is going to be mostly Filoni.
Yep.
And the Rangers of the New Republic is going to be mostly Favreau.
Okay.
They are a lot.
But Rangers sounds like their version of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I think they may use those X-Wing pilots that we saw.
They are. That guy, the older Asian cat, who's basically like a space police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, you know who the other pilot is? Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
No, is that right?
So, I suspect we'll at least get them as like a comedic duo or maybe a you know, they'll be there as supporting characters at a minimum.
You know what I would love? And they're not going to do this because it's such an inside baseball reference, but, like, did you guys ever see that play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead?
Yeah.
I would love to see that for these Rangers of the New Republic.
You know what? That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
They'll never do it. I mean, it's actually, Favreau would do it. I mean, one of his screenplays he wrote in perfect iambic pentameter. But then the studio got a hold of it and messed it up. So, like, he would get it, but it's such a nerd thing. I don't think it has mass appeal. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I hear you. I think that would be awesome. And it'd be different. I mean, you know, Marvel's doing some different shit. It'd be nice if Star Wars threw some different shit before they had to, you know.
Once in a while, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. But yeah, I mean, all four of these shows now, I guess, are supposedly going to lead to a event, probably a series, kind of like Defenders did on Netflix. So and that's what I suspect. I suspect they're going to adapt the Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy for that overarching story.
Mithron.
And I think that's fans seem to think that's where they're headed to. Now, they could be headed completely different. They could just be using parts of that.
Well, Ahsoka already brought him up, so we know Thrawn is...
Well, but, you know, she's searching for him based on the end of Rebels.
Correct.
In Rebels, she's going after Ezra and Thrawn because they disappeared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but man, that's Chekhov's gun, man. They're not going to bring Ahsoka in.
You're real low, Tom.
Hey. God damn it. I was saying that's Chekhov's gun. They're not going to bring Ahsoka in here, have her stay through the name, and have him not play a role. Like...
No. I think he'll be introduced in Ahsoka's show, but he'll be the overarching big bad for the event.
Could be.
As well.
There's a lot of interesting stuff that happens with Thrawn. It's clone Jedi. There's a lot of weird stuff. So Thrawn's definitely he brings a lot of material. And after Disney bought Star Wars and said that none of the books were canon, this is a way to get all those stories back into canon.
Correct.
So,
and you could use the characters now. You could use Ahsoka as Luke. You can use Mandalorian as Han Solo. You can really use, use the characters in those roles that they were in that trilogy.
There you go. There you go.
I like that a lot. Second generation. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it.
So,
Rangers well, and Republic. Your supporting cast would be the Rangers of the New Republic, whoever they are.
Yep. Yeah. But we also have Lando.
So Lando was they didn't say anything about it. They just said Lando's going to get a show. They haven't said who's playing him, but there's a rumor that's saying it's going to be Billy Dee doing flashbacks, or it's going to be like. Maybe it's focused on Donald Glover with flash forwards of Billy Dee. It probably seems a little more likely.
What if I gave his name with a straight face? What if they do How I Met Han Solo and it's just Billy Dee doing voiceovers?
That should be amazing.
God, actually, Mantone, that's good too, dude. I like that.
Oh, no, that's terrible. That's terrible.
That's great. It's so bad, it's awesome.
The most awesomest. I love it. So, Lando, I would love to see that play out. Obi-Wan.
Well, Lando gives them a way to continue the Solo story.
Sure.
If they do that.
I don't feel like anybody's really clamoring for more of the new iteration of Solo, though.
I'm very much in agreement with you on that.
So, I mean, we have talked about this. I think collectively you both aren't wrong, but there is a contingent that would like that story to continue.
I mean, look, if they can do it right, I'm all for it. But briefly, I want us to back up to Thrawn. I think we had a round robin of some casting choices that we would like to see.
Yep.
Let's play our favorite game. What Would Get Out the Room Do?
What Would Get Out the Room Do? Thrawn Edition.
All right, so who are we casting?
Anthony Golson, you are up first. Who do you cast?
So, first choice, Jesse Eisenberg, because I feel like he's going to radiate the perfect combination of intelligence, condescension, and punchability.
That condescension is definitely part of what Thrawn does.
It is.
It has to be a part of his character. He's the smartest man in every room and knows it.
As long as he doesn't do it like Lex Luthor, then we're in good shape.
Correct.
No. I'm thinking more like Vivarian.
Okay.
So, now, Damon's got a choice that blows my choice out of the water, so I had to step it up a little bit. So, my second choice, Hen Badgley from You.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Didn't see that one coming.
That's how we playing tonight.
Okay. All right.
Fantastic. Like, he's got the voice. He's got the gravitas. He can be charming. He can be menacing all at the same time. Still a little punchable. Like, I dig it.
Okay. It's Scott.
I think the first name I said to you guys, and I don't think that they would be able to get him, but Bryan Cranston.
Yep.
I think could do a good job. Good.
Cranston's age to the point where it would be good, and he's
correct.
Good.
I'm always trying to force Walton Goggins into things. I think he could do Thrawn.
Oh, that's a good choice. Goddamn.
Yeah.
That is very good.
I mean, I'm a Walton Goggins fan, and I mean, I've seen him in goofy horror movies, action movies, but I've also seen him in really comedic roles. I've seen him in really dramatic roles. He can do anything you throw at him. And, he hasn't been in Star Wars yet. So I think Thrawn might be white work. You shave his head, paint him blue. The motherfucker looks creepy as hell.
Yep.
So I think, those are the guys that kind of I jump to right away.
The blue skin, red eyes.
Yeah.
The side part, you know what I mean? Yeah, Thrawn's a bad dude. So my first choice was John Hamm.
Yeah, John Hamm's good. John Hamm's good.
He could really, really do that. But I think there's...
He might be just too damn charming, though. You know what I'm saying?
But I think there's part of any motherfucker who knows that they're the smartest person in the room, they weren't always the smartest motherfucker in the room. There has to be some ascension to where you had to be a little bit charming.
Right? Sure. For that.
Right? So I think you become Grand Admiral Thrawn, like there had to be a time where you used more than just sheer blunt intelligence to get what you wanted. And I think John Hamm could do that.
Like that. Sorry, come on. Pull out the big gun.
And this is... I've been doing some research, and this has been talked about, and who knows? But Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think, is obviously race, but we're talking about blue people in space.
Yeah, he's blue, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think that motherfucker is just such an incredibly talented actor who could do this. Tone talked about, what movie was that?
Serenity.
Serenity, where he was the bad dude, and yes. He was menacing
and intelligent.
Condescending.
He's gonna be this, I think he's going to be this dude in the next Doctor Strange, too.
Yeah, condescending. Like, yep. Wasn't he dope in that?
He was amazing in that.
I would love to see
him. His choice so much.
Yeah, he could do this.
We've seen him do it.
He could.
He could do this. So that was the one that I landed on. I was like, yes. Yes, fully embrace the fact that these motherfuckers are blue. Race doesn't matter. Get an actor who's going to fit.
No, that's the perfect, also it's the perfect way to get the fucking dumb internet people go up in arms like, oh, well, Thrawn's not black. It's like, no, he's blue.
He's blue.
Move on.
Yeah, how many blue people do you know? None. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, but you get a really talented actor, the rest will follow suit. Because I guarantee you, everybody thought the Mandalorian was just going to be a white guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's right? True.
Pedro Pascal, he got this shit on his shoulders.
Don't let me find out this motherfucker's a Spaniard.
We all have words.
So wait, you know, speaking on this, I mean, one of the cool things, but back to Mandalorian real quick. One of the cool things I like about Moff Gideon is he represents the Vader we all wanted when his mask came off.
Mm. Oh, I like that. I like where you're going with this.
And I think that's why they cast Giancarlo Esposito.
Well, I also think Giancarlo Esposito is the dopest motherfucker out. Like when you show up, you feel like your favorite person is.
Well, but I mean, what better to make it than some badass black dude who we all know is a bad villain already from Breaking Bad, who we all know is, you know, I mean, he's an established character actor character villain actor, really. And I mean,
recently
he's Darth Vader without the helmet and a black lightsaber. I mean, really? Essentially they're giving us the blackest Vader that could be.
And yo, let's say that they do end up casting Cranston as Bond.
Oh my God!
How dope would it be
to Gus Fring
characters play off each other again?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. That
would be dope.
So on top of that, right? Did you notice he also had like a baseline mechanical box on his uniform as well?
Oh yeah, in the front.
Yeah.
Oh, you're wondering if that isn't something there as well. That's interesting. I didn't think of that.
So, you know, just throwing it out there. I haven't really gone any further, but I did take notice of it. Like, oh, okay. All right. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So, you know, you could do something with that.
Yep.
But yeah, Giancarlo Esposito, whenever he shows up, good things happen in the show. Bad things happen for your favorite character. So
I mean,
that was dope. And the fact that he's not dead, you know, we can see him later on. His story is not finished being told. So that makes me happy.
Yeah, I agree.
So we got Obi-Wan with Ewan McGregor. He's coming back.
Yeah.
But what Scott told us that the first thing we're going to get next year is going to be Cassian Andor.
Yeah, Andor's filming now. They even had kind of a sizzle reel trailer kind of online. So I suspect it'll be the first thing we see Star Wars wise, since it's the farthest along filming.
Okay.
They haven't announced dates for any of these, by the way, so I could be completely wrong.
I mean, I think they're hedging their bets on what happens, you know, in terms of theater and what is open and what isn't. Because if you end up having to bet big on at-home entertainment, that means you may have to push up some of these timelines. So you might have to come with three of these a year, right?
I mean, shit, that's what Marvel's going to do. Six.
Exactly. Exactly.
Six.
So what do we have? Diego Luna, who is another Latin cat.
Yes, and this is a prequel to Rogue One.
Yeah. I'm interested. As long as it's not too long. Like, if you keep it tight.
So you'll like this. Apparently, I know Marvel's doing this with all their shows. All their shows are going to be six episodes.
Yeah.
That series, Star Wars, are supposedly supposed to be six as well.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. Like, tight shows, right? Tell your story, get the fuck out. Like, there's no reason for you to do anything more. Do it like the BBC, you know, do it like fucking British television. Tell your fucking show 43 minutes, 32 minutes, however long the episode takes, six episodes, get in and get out.
Well, that's what Mandalorian does so well. Absolutely. One episode's an hour, one episode's 30 minutes. And, you know, the Boba Fett episode that we've referred to is one of the shortest of the season, and that's awesome. It feels like 10 minutes.
Well, you know, it's something that we've talked about before. You know, tell the story. And if you need an hour to tell it for an hour. If you need 20 minutes to tell it for 20 minutes. But none of this bullshit filling time stuff that we've seen a lot in television shows. And I think, you know, one of the benefits of stuff like Netflix and Disney Plus, Hulu, et cetera, is the format is broken. So they can actually do that. They can tell the story for as long as it makes sense to tell the story and not a minute longer.
Right. Yep.
And stuff like this, and it pays off. We've seen it, you know, pays off.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely agree. I think that six episodes, anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes, somewhere in that range, is probably the bread and butter for these shows.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, for a while we started moving away from the 30 minute television show, everything was an hour. And hey, some shit needs an hour, but a lot doesn't. And so you get story bloat.
Great point.
I think it's dope that we're starting to cycle back towards shorter run times, 30 minutes, you know, because you can do a lot with 30 minutes and you can really move, you know, and some of these joints, you know, are actually seriously moving the plot forward. So
yeah,
I'm Bill really Burr's episode.
Yeah. Bill Burr's episode's a good example of that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And yo, the fucking character arc on Bill Burr's character, man, like he starts off just, you know, just an unrepentant asshole and a jerk, you know, and you really see shades of him. Cause I don't even want to say growth because I'm not saying that the character grew, but you see shades of him that you didn't see before. I think, you know, they did amazing things with him.
Yeah, I agree.
So if we're doing six episodes, somewhere in between 28 to 37, 40 minutes per episode, that's just about right. And I'm good with that. Even for Cassian, right? And you know,
I suspect six episode ones will go more like 45 to 55.
Yeah, probably. I mean, particularly in the first season where you feel like you have a lot of ground to cover. So sure. You got to lay out a lot. But I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't mind. You know what? I wouldn't mind the format. Give me an hour on the first ep and an hour on the second ep. And then just give me 28 minutes in the middle.
Makes sense.
First and last. And
yeah, I was just going to say, I like the first and last make extra long. Because, you know, I mean, even Mandalorian, I think the last episode was 40-some minutes. Yep. I mean, I could have watched more of it. All of us could have.
I could have watched an hour more of that shit. really could have.
Yep. I mean, it's quality, and it's done well. I mean, it's nerdgasming. It's all the things that you want to see out of this franchise at one time, and it worked. It was great.
Yeah. Well, it's what they're doing now is they're placating what fans really want to see. I mean, essentially, you have that Mando's kind of small little unit working through that ship, but they were aided by one of the most popular Star Wars characters of all time. At the beginning and at the end of the episode. And it heightens the excitement for, you know, Mandalorian and Grogu even more so. And these other characters that they've introduced and have only popped up in two different episodes or three different episodes.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing to touch on and highlight, and then given their, you know, characters their own shows. Ahsoka, of course, Ahsoka has her own show. Of course, Boba Fett's going to get his own show.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it makes sense.
And not to break my arm, patting us on the back, but this is exactly what we told them to do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Small shows, these small moments, bring the big heavy hitters in for wild punching the mouth moments, and then back right on out.
Yep, popping right back out.
That is a gigantic miss on Marvel's part for not doing this earlier.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's all under Disney's shit thing, but Marvel's probably sitting there going, how are we gonna beat Mandalorian now? I mean,
good luck, motherfuckers.
Well, not necessarily true, because you figure you now have the blueprint, particularly recognizing that the theaters aren't open. So, you know, you can pop, you know, Chris Hemsworth into production for 2 days worth of shooting. He can roll out. You know, you call
Robert Downey. Mark Ruffalo is going to be in the She-Hulk show. So,
absolutely. I mean, could you see any other way?
No. But,
we're going to get to that moment with Marvel in a second. Because we're going to talk about, you know, Tatiana Maslany. Love me some Tatiana Maslany. If anybody watched Orphan Black, you know that
she's not the problem. She's not the problem.
Casting though, but so yeah. Then let me just run through these. We don't even have to really talk on them because I don't think we know too much about them.
Yeah.
But we have the Acolyte, the Bad Batch, Star Wars Visions, A Droid Story, which is R2-D2 and C-3PO. And if anybody's ever seen an old 82 cartoon Droids, it's roughly that.
They say it's going to be the two of them guiding a new character along, which I'm assuming is going to be a droid.
So yeah,
it's like a coming of age story for this new character guided by droids.
Got it. Okay. And then the Patty Jenkins led Rogue Squadron.
Right. Which, I mean, the way they announced that was really cool, too.
That's a lot of stuff coming up, man.
And by the way, that's Disney kind of stealing her from Warner Brothers, too.
Yeah. Look, Warner Brothers spent a lot of money just to be able to get Wonder Woman 84 out on Christmas Day. And for her and Gal Gadot to be okay with it, they gave each of them an additional $10 million. So guess what, I'd have been happy, too.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They gave them $10 million apiece. So they're going to be fine.
Yeah. So you ain't got to worry about the back end. That's exactly why Wonder Woman is so big coming out in Christmas. All right?
It's frankly dope-ass move because everybody's going to be talking about that shit.
Hell, yeah. They have a captive audience that nobody else is doing. And all you got to do is pay for the streaming product.
Right.
You
got to
pay extra.
No.
Do you recognize that everybody and their mama going to have HBO Max by tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Well, they said they even have the announce. I think it's supposed to premiere at noon on Friday is when it drops.
I'll be working because
the first scene is up now.
And I will stop.
Yeah, the first scene is online.
Okay. Yep.
Well, Friday is Christmas, Tone, so you're not working on Christmas.
Okay. Let me say it again. I will be working because I never take a day off, but I will stop working to watch that shit.
Yo, you are American capitalism incarnate. Jesus
Dude,
Christ.
Look, if you ever had a boss like mine, you would understand.
I do, but then I leave those situations.
So that's the problem.
Right. Right. You are that person.
Yeah. Just don't get in the way. Motherfucker's there when I go to sleep. He's there when I wake up. I can't avoid him.
Crazy. So Star Wars can be big. Scott, do you have the list of all the Marvel shit?
Or do no, I'm going to try to go off the top, actually. This is going to be a good skin here. No, I could do that. Well, we start with, they drop trailers for, so Marvel also announced, but just as many, if not more, stuff for them. They dropped new trailers for WandaVision. So now WandaVision's got a couple trailers and TV spots because that's coming out. I mean, guys, that's coming out.
January 15th.
Yeah, January 15th. 3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the next, you know, and if that show's good, you know, we'll probably be recording more often.
Yep. Because Falcon and Winter Soldier coming up after that.
Yeah, so the first trailer that came out, that's March.
Loki.
Loki's in May.
What if?
They haven't announced that yet, but that is next year.
Yeah, I thought they did announce it already.
I don't know about when, like, I'm saying when it's coming specifically.
Okay, because I saw the trailer for it, so.
Yeah, the trailer's out for that, and then Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye are also going to be next year.
Yep. Moon Knight is a ways off.
Midnight's a ways off, which, by the way, Marvel's doing a good job at casting and getting creators that are specific to these characters.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed by that. They did with Ms. Marvel. They did that with Moon Knight, like having all Egyptian writers and directors. And
yeah, is Oscar Isaac set to be Moon Knight?
He is.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is a great bit of casting.
I agree. I think he'll do a pretty good job. I hope he does a pretty good job.
They say they're going to touch on the mental health. So I think that's going to be great.
Yep.
She-Hulk with my girl Tatiana Maslany.
Yep.
From Orphan Black. Canadian. Tone, you have something to say about She-Hulk?
I mean, look.
You're going to say the same thing you did about Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman, are you?
No.
Because of CGI.
Well, they're CGI, of course. Also, I hadn't seen anything from Gal Gadot that made me think she could bridge the gap.
Okay.
Clearly everybody thinks she's a great Wonder Woman now, but before I hadn't seen shit from what was she in Fast and Furious. There was nothing I seen her in that made me think that she could bridge that gap. So that's a little bit different. But okay. Tatiana Maslany is a tiny little girl, and she is an amazing actress. And yes, we do have CGI, so I'm holding judgment. You know what I mean? But it's I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there.
They've made the announcement that She-Hulk is going to be a half-hour legal comedy.
Well, the thing that concerns me also, because Jennifer Walters, one, she has control over her transformation. And there's this little background on She-Hulk. She can control when she transforms and prefers her She-Hulk form.
Yeah.
So 99% of the time, she's going to be walking around as She-Hulk, which means a lot of fucking budget if we're doing this CGI.
Six episodes, but you also have to recognize that, you know, the other piece was she hated being mousy, irrelevant,
yes,
overlooked.
Yes.
Being She-Hulk gave her, you know, something to be proud of, something she's noticed, she's strong. She embraced the Hulk in a way that Bruce never did.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to the conversation that she and Mark Ruffalo have doing this.
Yeah. No. That's a great, you know, and actually I'm not sure I've ever seen them to have that conversation in the comics. So if they have that on screen, I think that would be amazing.
Oh, that would be a great, yeah.
And if anybody can make that like wild character shift, it's definitely Tatiana Maslany. And I think that's why they hired her. Again, I'm just reserving judgment because it's a lot. You know, I think she's what, 5 even on a good day.
Yeah, I mean, Tatiana Maslany is not particularly tall.
Yeah,
5'3", 5'4".
The Hulk is like 10 feet tall. I'm guessing She-Hulk has got to be around 8 or 9. Like, these are big people. So I'm curious to see what they do. But again, it ain't like Mark Ruffalo looks like the Hulk in real life.
Yeah,
so
she's 5'4". So
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
it's a lot of budget. It's a lot of budget.
It is, but you know, if you're the number one studio in the world, you okay?
I'm not saying they can't afford it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we may not get a second season.
Well, I think
that'd be unfortunate.
A lot of these characters is to put them into Avengers.
Yep. I mean, they have to show up later, so. We'll see about that. Who's next? And this is all TV. We haven't even gotten to the movies yet. There's a Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. I don't know anything about that shit.
It's anybody does.
Brand new, but James Gunn is writing and directing.
Right, which is why everyone's excited about it.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, we're supposed to get that 2021. I think I heard.
No, it's next year.
Yeah.
The next Christmas.
22.
Okay.
Yeah. It's when he's filming, he's doing it at the same time as Volume 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah. So basically, to go back to your point, Tone, She-Hulk is 6'7", and regular Jennifer Walters is 5'10". So she's actually pretty tall.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but after Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is Secret Invasion, which I know Scott is not a fan of.
I'm not. It's an overblown comic story, in my opinion, that they had so much. The lead up to it is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the story itself, they pitched as anyone can be a Skrull. So the story is the Skrulls have infiltrated the Marvel Universe. That's kind of and the idea is anybody can be a Skrull. So here's
they've already given us some of that.
They have, and they did the post credits with Nick Fury up on a Skrull ship on Captain Marvel. So they set up Secret Invasion already.
No, not just what was it?
Talos.
No, it was Far From Home. The after credit.
Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Talos was playing Nick Fury. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I got problems with that. I don't want them to, you know, and I don't know that they would do this, but this is where my mind went. If you suddenly can have Skrulls be anybody and have them be anybody for an extended period of time, does that mean, you know, was the Black Widow that died in Endgame a Skrull?
No, because when she hit, Skrull would have came out.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, like,
I know what you mean. You can retcon some shit.
Correct.
I know what you're saying.
I don't want them to do that at all. So I'm a little nervous that they might try. And
they have earned our trust at this point.
No, I know that. I know. But I'm a little... Secret Invasion also, the story includes pretty much every Marvel character. And I don't know how they're going to do that exactly on TV.
Understood.
Well, they'll do it the same way they did, you know, the Avengers movies. It'll be... In their individual movies, they'll sneak in closing credit scenes and whatnot, and then when Avengers comes around, that is the big bad that they will fight. But to you know, I'm Team Scott on this one. I did not like Secret Invasion. I found it overblown as well.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people liked it. Secret Invasion came after Civil War, right?
Anybody as a Skrull was weak because you know, Spider-Woman and Elektra were Skrulls. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't anybody big. It was like the fringe big characters, but not the big characters.
Well, no, didn't they make Cap a Skrull?
No, not that. So the biggest characters that were Skrulls were like Spider-Woman, because she was a member of the New Avengers at the time, and Elektra was the first reveal, and that was before the event even took place. Jarvis. Tony's butler was a Skrull. You know, it was like, come on, guys. Like, you didn't even make any of the big character Skrulls. That's the problem.
I think I would have much preferred if they had done Secret Wars.
So I actually think they're going to do that as the next big giant crossover. I think they're headed that way.
Well, it would have been better for them to do it now because we already have Eddie Brock walking around. That could have at least explained how the fuck all that shit happened.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that's
especially if we're introducing the Fantastic Four now.
Well, but so the two big events in Secret Wars were the Black Symbiote suit and She-Hulk joins the Fantastic Four.
Right. It's perfect. I don't know why they didn't pick that.
That would have been cool. I do think they're going to do a movie, though, of Secret Wars at some point. The Russos have already said that if they come back to Marvel, they want to do Secret Wars. So,
yeah, I know how I feel about that either. I mean, that ends up with Doom, though, right?
So, it's multiple, and it's the multiverse as well. So I suspect they're headed that way.
So we'll see. The last upcoming TV show is Ironheart and Armor Wars.
Neither of which are exciting.
Riri? You're not looking for Riri?
I got to be honest. I don't know a lot about her character, but I also wasn't terribly interested in learning more about her character, so I might be completely off base on that.
Might be.
I don't have a lot to comment.
Like I told you, I don't really fool with Iron Man comics, so...
Agreed. I'm not
Iron Man spinoff with, you know, a young black genius. I should, for all intents and purposes, I should be behind this more than anybody. It doesn't interest me. I'm sorry.
And so, Damon, that right there is exactly kind of why what makes me nervous. If you guys were both like, oh, yeah, she's cool, or I've read her comics, and even if not reading her comics, and you're like, I'm excited to read it, but the general consensus seems to be this show is one of them. It's like, what, really? This is what we're going to do? All right.
Well, you got to cash in somewhere. You lost Chadwick. Go ahead, Tom.
Right. I mean, look, I'm with Day on this one. You know, this is right up my lane, but this ain't doing it for me. So I'm less than interested in her storyline. I feel like Armor Wars could be interesting. One, you got Don Cheadle, and people forget he is a tremendously talented actor. So that's one. Two, you know, this storyline of like, okay, the Stark tech got out and now we got to go and get it. And again, we have, you know, a basic quote unquote monster of the week format every week.
Oh, different classic, classic Iron Man villain.
Somebody down, take the shit. Like, I think that could be a nice little Rock'em Sock'em, you know, popcorn.
Well, and War Machine can be really fucking cool. He's been cool in the comics. I think this is a time when they can try and make him cool.
Yeah, agreed. So with Armor Wars, I really feel like it's going to come down to execution. So, you know, I'm a withhold judgment on that, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
We're all going to at least watch one episode of every single one of these. So,
absolutely.
We're at least going to be able to tell right from the start whether or not we want to do it. And if we really want the full story, even if we don't like the show, we're probably going to have to watch it anyway.
I think, every one of these shows are going to get at least one episode out of me, at least.
Correct. And it's going to be hard to keep up with all of them. At some point, I'm assuming it's going to be hard to keep up with all of them.
No, because they're all going to be on your Disney Plus, and Disney's going to say, hey, you didn't watch this yet. Come on. Episode. Let's go.
That's true.
Disney's going to keep you on point. Don't worry about that.
So
we don't have a point. Yeah. I mean, we don't have a choice. We got to watch this shit.
Mm-hmm. No. You ain't got, what do we always say? You ain't got shit to do.
You ain't got
nowhere to be.
But that was just the shows. They announced a bunch of movie shit too.
Is that all the shows?
Yep, that's all shows. So we're going to get into the movies now. So first one, everybody knows Black Widow.
Prequel, which, by the way, has sunk to the bottom of everybody giving a shit.
I know. It's unfortunate.
It's like 5 years too late. Everybody wanted that shit and they didn't give it to us. Now you want to come about the draws?
I hope that movie's good. I do. I hope it is.
I don't care. I don't care if it's good. I don't
That's
care
unfortunate.
If it's bad. I don't care.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially with a villain like Taskmaster. That's unfortunate.
I don't find Taskmaster super compelling. He's an interesting character, but it's not like...
His look is very different than it is in the comics, too.
I mean, I don't even care about that. I mean, just, what's his thing again? It's like...
He can watch you.
Muscle memory, imagery, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so like Monica Rambeau, but a little, but not quite as strong, basically.
Well, he's not a superhuman. So.
Right. It's like...
Rambeau is pretty powerful.
Doesn't she have that same thing, though?
Yeah, but I think she either does it with like a power suit or like a energy something that gives her, she could fly and has like eight.
Yeah, no, I remember she's got some power cosmic-y type.
Yeah, correct. So if they do her right, she's tremendously powerful.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never found Taskmaster particularly engaging. Black Widow, if you would have gave it to me when I really wanted it, I would have been there. Now it's like, meh. And also, it's a little anticlimactic. I mean, she's dead.
Right. So, I agree.
Like, oh, let me take you back in time. And like, nah, I'm good, bro.
Well, and then what, next year also, they just released, I think it just came out yesterday. The only way I watched it was like a reaction of it. The star of Shang-Chi put out a fight demonstration video.
That I saw as well.
And they redid the Matrix fight in the subway tunnel. Or at least that's how it started.
Yeah. I gotta make comments about this.
I do, you mean that video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Because a lot really of people are losing their minds over this, and I'm looking at and now mind you, this is someone I've put in my hours watching, from Wire, from the Wire Fu from old days, the bare bones, Hong Kong opera shit like Jackie Chan and whatnot. And so, I might be nitpicking this shit, but.
No, I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
The fight choreography is better than Iron Fist, but that's a low bar. Other than that, I found it sloppy and slow. And I'm like,
so I agree.
That motherfucker, man. Like, it can't be like this.
Right.
You know?
It didn't do what I think what's his name? Simu Liu? Simu Liu? Something like that?
I think it's Simu Liu.
Yep. I don't know. I don't think it did what he hoped it would do by releasing that.
It definitely did the opposite.
Yeah, I have less faith in it.
Now,
So that's dope. But this is not tight like I need it to be,
Yep. I agree. Well, it's another one of those, you know, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and then Eternals is another one that it just doesn't seem people are excited about that.
Eternals, for me, came out of nowhere. And I know who the Eternals are, but all of a sudden it's like, boom, Eternals. And
the casting is so real, though.
Oh, the casting is amazing.
The cast is insane. You know, you got Selma Hayek, Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani. Like, yeah. The cast is fucking insane.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere. Like,
well, I mean, I'm a comic. I'm
I think they're going to introduce fucking Nova during that as well.
I know they're doing Black Knight. I know they're doing Black Knight.
Okay.
I don't know about Nova. I assume we'll get in the next Guardians movie.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But, you know, Eternals, I'm a big Marvel comic fan, and I couldn't tell you a thing about the Eternals.
I mean, I know so they don't come up very often.
They do not. They're like fringe characters.
Yes, they're fringe characters. You know, everybody thinks probably fucking Franklin Richards is kind of one, which no one really gets.
Isn't Thanos? Thanos is a deviant, which is their villain.
Right.
Their villains, yeah.
Right. Isn't Galactus supposed to be one of them too?
I think every major super has ties to.
Galactus is a celestial.
Yes, he's a celestial.
That's a different thing. Yeah, this is. And look, dude, we're comic book nerds. And even for us, this is confusing. So thinking, I don't know.
So next year, movie wise, Disney's got Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Eternals, and the three of those are probably. Of everything on their slate, those are the three big risks right there.
I agree. But the Eternals is scheduled to come out February 12th. That's not going to happen. But, you know, still, it'll be late.
It's supposed to be done, though.
Done. All three of them would have been out this year.
Yeah.
2020.
It'd already been out.
We would already know about it right now.
But the theaters won't be open. And Marvel ain't in the business of losing money.
They changed Eternals. It's November.
Okay, so Eternals in November.
Black Widow's in May.
Black Widow's in May, and Shang-Chi's July 9th.
And then Spider-Man 3 is December.
The Far From Home sequel, which should introduce the multiverse.
Was it
correct?
Homestake or something like that? Or Homeworld? What was it?
No, they haven't. I don't think they've announced.
There's no title. They just called the Far From Home sequel.
Gotcha. Yeah,
And that one, I suspect, by the way, the multiverse is going to, we're going to learn about it in WandaVision and Loki first.
Absolutely.
Well, that's been confirmed that, you know, the multiverse, in particular Doctor Strange, is going to have heavy tie-ins with Wanda. And it's rumored to have heavy tie-ins with Spider-Man, which would make sense while we have three different Spider-Man casts.
And Benedict Cumberbatch is in Spider-Man as well.
Right. So, interesting things there.
Yeah, get them all in while you can.
I think they're headed towards doing a multiverse Sinister Six too, with all the villains they're bringing back. So they got Alfred Molina, Dr. Octopus, Jamie Foxx, Electro.
Yeah.
They got
Dane DeHaan still around?
Vulture. Oh yeah, Dane DeHaan, Hobgoblin. They got Sandman, Thomas Hayden Church, Sandman.
He was a good Sandman.
He was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, who's left?
Need Fisk because he's
Sinister. Craven. Yeah.
Craven the Hunter, yeah.
But Craven hasn't been, I mean, like, he'd be a new character.
I thought I heard rumor that he was cast in the last one. And then this one that they're filming right now.
I think it's just fan casting.
I don't know. That storyline is always very difficult for me because realistically, it would take somebody like Venom to help him. You know, like I think because we've watched so much early Saturday morning cartoon Spider-Man, you know, unless you are, you know, a real big comic book person, you forget how dangerous Electro is. You forget how dangerous Vulcan is. You forget how dangerous, you know, Doc Ock is. They're punchlines because of the cartoons, but each one on their own is extremely dangerous. And six of them is just too much. So,
I mean, look, the comic book storyline was, you know, addressed all that. But again, we have to remember that Spider-Man walks around pulling his punches. You know, like he's by far, take all the Avengers, Thor and Hulk are the only ones that are stronger than him.
Yep.
And, you know, he's one of the few people who can take a punch from either one of those niggas. He's not going to feel good the next day.
But he'll get up and keep fighting.
He'll get up. He's one of the strongest Marvel heroes. We just don't talk about it because he's got this weird fucking defeated attitude.
Yep.
So, you know, and, you know, so you add in his natural speed, agility, and the spider sense. The dude's a bad motherfucker. But, of course, we're talking about 25-year-old Peter Parker at the height of all his powers, not, what is he, 17 now? 17, 18-year-old Peter Parker.
Right.
I mean, it is different. And that's another thing that they're going to have to contend with. The Sinister Six storyline happened when he is a grown-ass man in full control of his powers to shift it now.
I suspect it'll be the Sinister Six versus the three Spider-Men.
And Spider-Gwen.
Well, I also think they're going to be...
With a punch-up from Miles.
Well, I suspect we'll see Tom Hardy Venom, and I also suspect very strongly they're going to introduce live-action Miles as well.
Yeah, and I also think Spider-Gwen is too big of an opportunity to pass up.
With Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is one, or, I mean, you know...
It's not going to be Emma Stone.
Yeah, just completely recast that.
No, she's aged out of that part, unfortunately.
I also don't think, physically, I don't think that's her role. You know, she did La La Land, you know, that's great, but I think there are a lot of other people who can physically do more. Like, Gwen is fully in control of her powers. Much more so than Peter.
Right. More so than our current incarnate.
Yeah. I'll tell you who would be a good Gwen Stacy. I just don't know how she'd look as a blonde. Arya Stark.
Too small.
Yes.
Yeah. But Gwen, physically, she could do the work.
She could definitely do the work. Yeah, it would be.
I was thinking Ariel Winter as a blonde. But I don't think she can pull it off the physicality of the role.
I mean, that's different. Yeah, than the role, brother.
Yeah, I don't. Young I don't know about, female well, casting. She could be. She would look the role, dude. I mean, if
that's
she grew
what
up blonde hair, she would look exactly the role.
But I don't think she can pull it off physically. I'm not sure if I know of a other than Arya Stark, like a female character who can carry the fucking role. You know what I mean?
Millie Bobby Brown.
She's young, but yeah, she can do it.
Too tall. She's lanky.
No, she can do it.
She don't look like Spider-Gwen. She could do it physically, though.
Yeah, she can do it.
Oh, yeah, she could do it.
You'd have to pay her, though.
You know, if Emma Watson wasn't too old for the role, I think she'd be great for
it. Oh, Emma Watson would be good, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty old at this point. Yeah, but, you know, that Spider-Verse is going to open up so much. There's going to be a lot that comes from that. And the film right after that is Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. So
right. We're
going to get that. And then you get into Thor.
You heard about the rumor about casting with that multiverse Doctor Strange movie, right? I mean, they're talking. So the early rumors are that some of the cameos you're going to see are the actors that were originally up for MCU
roles. That's right. Yeah.
So it'll be like Emily Blunt as Black Widow,
mm-hmm.
and Tom Cruise as Tony Stark.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Those are
the two names I've heard most associated with that rumor as Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise.
That'd be interesting. I'd be here for that.
Yeah, I mean, I that would literally be a 5-minute cameo, if that.
I'd rather than save Emily Blunt for the Invisible Girl, but...
Yeah. Oh, no. They could still do that.
Yeah.
They could absolutely still do that. It's an alternate universe Black Widow, that's all it is.
Yeah. You got Florence Pugh already.
Yeah.
Let's not mess it up. After Love and Thunder, Black Panther 2. So this is what we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. Just, right. Let me hear this. Well, first off, I think this must play into what they their announcement of not recasting T'Challa and focusing on the supporting characters only.
Yes.
So this has to play into whatever you're going to tell me about Letitia Wright, which means they don't trust her enough to do it. I don't know.
It's not trust.
So what did she do?
She basically came out and was telling motherfuckers not to take the vaccine.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boy.
And not only did she say it, she argued with motherfuckers.
Yeah, she went back and forth.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, look, man, you got Mickey Mouse getting ready to hand you a check for a smooth, I'm thinking 20 milli, right?
Like they trying to back the truck up to your house.
I'm saying, they're like, yo, just where is that? Drop the pin. Where's the address? We're just trying to back the truck up. And you just all up in the way interfering. Shut the fuck up. Even if you believe that shit, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, and there is a bit of truth to the point she's attempting to make. The point of Black folks have been the guinea pigs of white science for a very long time. They have used our physiology to figure out cures for a very long time. You know, even talking about Tuskegee. And
nobody said she was lying.
Right, right.
We said this is not the time for that shit.
Right. So from that respect, she wasn't wrong. But there are a whole bunch, like, get a burner account like KD and send it from a burner account. But you don't have to be the one to do this. So now she's not going to be Black Panther.
And count your money.
Yep. Well, she won't. But she won't be Black Panther yet.
No, I don't know if she will be ever at this point.
So that brings up the next question. That brings up the question then. I mean, what are they going to do?
Last I heard, they were talking about my man
Winston Duke. Or,
no, I heard it was Michael B.
I heard it was M'Baku.
I like the idea of M'Baku. I like that.
I would actually stick female. With this and go with Koye.
She can't be because she's been
can't be.
The door.
Yeah, she served the throne. She can't take
it. I'm going to go on stick with this too, and I'd go with Nakia.
Yeah, I'm for that.
It's going to happen. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I mean, Lupita's got the name. She's got the acting credibility. She's got
does physical stuff.
Franchise like this. She could do the physical stuff.
Yep.
Everybody likes her.
She's charming as shit. She can carry it.
Lupita Nyong'o is just like me. You sign her up for Marvel movies, suddenly you can make her the leader of the new Avengers.
And not just that, you open up an entire continent of Africa.
Correct.
Because we forget, it's not a country, an entire continent that's the biggest thing that Black Panther did. Black Panther opened up a continent of people to make them feel seen. And if you can do that again with a really strong female lead, motherfucker, you set yourself up.
Dude, that's the way to do it.
Between Shang-Chi, who's just going to blow China open.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get the China money, then you can get the entire continent of Africa. African countries do not generally tend to agree on shit. And if you can get all those motherfuckers to agree on some shit, you print money forever.
Yeah, it's a lot of motherfuckers out there.
Yep.
It's a big place.
Big place.
The problem, I mean, look, the blueprint was there with Shuri, though. Like, it wasn't there.
Oh, I know.
God, I mean, I'm angry for myself. I'm like, man, you really fucked this up. Because what they're going to have to do is, you know, they have the Black female angle there, which I thought was the way to go. She is the sister. There is a storyline in the comics that mirrors this. It was perfect. Now, since she want to run her mouth about a bunch of shit, they're going to have to try to figure out another way to make this happen. And so they could go, okay, do we do Black male? Do we do M'Baku or David Kalua's character from Black Panther? Or do we figure out a way to bring back Killmonger and say he never died or whatnot? Like, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
it's a weird situation because Black Panther 2 went from, before Chadwick died, went from being like my most wanted Marvel property to now I'm like, man, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah, now I'm curious as opposed to.
Oh, I'm absolutely curious. It's just like, I'm worried.
Well, here's the thing. Look,
probably apprehensive, not worried.
Well, apprehensive. That's a better word. Yes.
Well, had Letitia not fucked up, honestly, I would have been fine. I'd be like, okay, I knew this was.
Had that not happened, they would have announced on the investor day that she was playing or going to be. They did it with Natalie Portman and Thor.
Yeah, because that was always the plan. Shuri was always going to be Black Panther at some point. It just was going to happen 3 movies from now or so. You know, I'm like, okay, they move with the timeline, no big deal, but I'm not sure if she's going to get that shot now.
Huh, that's a shame, dude. That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, for you folks at home, just remember, shutting the fuck up is $3.99.
Don't say it don't cost nothing to shut the fuck up, and that's not true. It costs you $20 million. Fuck up.
Damn.
Followed by Captain Marvel with Brie Larson returning. Again, I don't
know. They're going to be bringing in the girl that played Miss Marvel in that, too.
They will. Kamala Khan, right?
Yeah. And Monica Rambeau, who we were talking about earlier.
Is Monica?
She's also
Photon?
It's the younger one. It's whatever the younger Rambeau is.
Okay.
Because Maria was the mother, so I think it is Monica.
Right, and the full-grown Monica is in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Right. I'm curious.
Yeah, they're tying all this. I mean, all of it's going to start coming together. And I hope, I still got to hold out, man. Let me see Rogue in there.
What we're going to see is, I think WandaVision is going to be the portal that we get X-Men from.
You think so?
Well,
love that, of course, but I don't think they're going to do it that early.
I'm not talking about this season, but I think that, I mean, remember, she's the one who took away mutants.
Right.
I think maybe, I won't say season one, not at all, but I think, you know, wherever the end game for this is, if it's season 2 or 3 or whatnot, I think that might be the portal for where we're getting our mutants from.
So I've actually been thinking about how they could do that because, you know, In order to have them have a history, you kind of have to have them always have been around, unless they do a reality, you know, they mix realities of some sort. Could it be something like maybe the telepaths have been erasing the memories of mutants out of all the characters in the MCU for years, and they're uncovered that way?
Or it could be, since we have a Doctor Strange tie-in, he's got the multiverse of madness, that, you know, the borders between realities get a little weak. And, you know, we don't have mutants in our reality, or we didn't, but they were in some other reality, and now they're in ours.
Yeah, so, I mean, you agreed.
I like that a lot.
That's the easy way to do it, right? I mean, that's the quick solution, because they still have to have a history. You can't just start mutants from scratch and then have the X-Men just be these young characters who don't know how to use their powers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what gives us the history. It's like they have their whole history and their whole backstory, and maybe their universe gets shattered and these people become refugees in our, you know, reality. You know.
Actually, that would explain why they're so hated too right away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I like that.
There you go. There. You know, it's, and you know what? It really mirrors the original X-Men social political storytelling, because as opposed to it being about, you know, the civil rights struggle and to a degree, you know, the anti-Jew hatred in Europe, it now becomes about anti-immigrant.
Yeah, so I actually love that idea. I love that idea. That's exactly what they should do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, you know, they be listening. So, yo, if y'all listen, y'all can have that one. Just, you know, just write the check to Get Out the Room Productions.
Yeah. You know, send the check over. Yeah. Send the check over.
So the another movie we haven't even talked about is Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania.
That is next, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. And they're adding more people to that cast every day. So,
well, by the way, I mean, speaking of, we were talking about Blueskin Thrawn casting. The most genius casting is Kang being Jonathan Majors.
By far.
They killed that show.
He looks like Kang.
He looks like a motherfucker who can rule.
No, they killed that show. They killed it. They really did. And I'm just looking forward to seeing the brother on screen again because he's a talented actor.
The next, like they also said that he may pop up for the first time in Loki.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think you said it, that where he was Kang's universe. So that would be very cool.
Right.
Next up is James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which will also have Thor in it. And
they've started to leak that the Guardians will be in Thor: Love and Thunder as well.
Yep.
Chris Pratt and the girl that played Mantis have already been. Well, Chris Pratt's been confirmed. Yeah, and so Palm, I guess the list was like just a couple days ago. I guess somebody caught her landing in Australia where they're filming Love and Thunder now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think Guardians are going to pop up in his movie because that's, you know, we saw them at the end of Endgame together. Yep.
So
yeah, we'll see. There. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to watch it, but we'll see.
Right.
Well, Guardians has, I mean, with James Gunn doing it, I mean, he can go in any fucking direction, take any character, any obscure character, and make them relevant.
Agreed.
I mean, I have no idea what to expect from a Guardians 3. I mean, I suspect we'll get, you know, them searching for the alternate Gamora who's running around there somewhere.
Killing motherfuckers, doing something.
Yep.
Oh. We'll see what Chris Pratt says or does by that point. He continues on his chase to be the worst Chris. We'll see.
I thought he awarded the worst Chris. I thought he caught that joint.
Yeah, no, he holding it, but you know, see if he continue. If he trying to give it up, if he trying to hold, we'll see. And then Fantastic Four is last,
right? Which they haven't, they didn't do cast, and they only said John Watts is directing.
Man, we know who it is. They need to stop playing.
I think so, and I would like to see that.
I agree. I think everyone wants to see that.
Yeah. I still want to see, you know, the other two characters. And I need to see who the villain is because, like, honestly, man.
Well, it has to be Doom.
I mean, that's what you would.
I don't know. I would actually, I think I would do Doom. I wouldn't do Doom right away.
If you've taken so many of the Fantastic Four villains and you already have Kang, like, Doom's the only one left.
I think Namor
was supposed to be the villain during Black Panther.
You could do Mole Man. You could do Galactus. I don't know. I would keep Doctor Doom in your back pocket for either a solo movie that would eventually cross over with Fantastic Four, or I would introduce him in like a Black Panther 2. Or I would do something just slightly different and then put him in Fantastic.
So either Namor or Doom, that's who's up against Wakanda.
Yes,
and Atlantis.
Okay. So it's country versus country essentially. Yeah. Which I think is a good idea.
I mean, because really, I want just a straight up Doom movie.
Yeah, correct. So if you do that, then you set him up as kind of a Thanos type character. Then you can have him interact with Fantastic Four.
Thanos is laying a little thick. I don't want Doom as the heavy. I want a Doom movie. He's too compelling of a character, honestly. And, you know, he is a heavy, but I feel like there's just too much going on with Doom to make him just the villain. Like, he really.
Oh, no, man. Thanos carried that shit really, really well, dude.
That's what I mean. What I mean is,
like, Doom is a true movie.
Give him his own movie, but make him like Thanos. Make him.
That I get Doom, like, Doom as a through line. That makes more sense. That makes more sense to me because I feel like he needs some space.
So, you know, first Fantastic Four movie, highlight the four and give them, like, you know, again, in the very first issue of Fantastic Four, they fight Mole Man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you could just give them a throwaway villain to start that leads to Doom or leads to Silver Surfer and Galactus. Or, I mean, Marvel apparently, back before the Netflix Daredevil, tried to trade characters to get Galactus early.
Yeah.
So I think they're chomping at the bit to do a proper Galactus.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen it, and I would like to see it, but more, like, generally that also means Norrin Rad comes too.
Yes, which is fine.
Yeah, I guess Norrin Rad, I think you're in good shape.
I agree. Well, I mean, hell, the Fantastic Four fighting Silver Surfer, and then by, you know, the third act, Galactus makes an appearance. I mean, that would be dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's, we're still hoping and assuming that Krasinski and Blunt made that deal.
Yeah, because this will be 2023.
Yeah, so, I mean, they don't have to announce casting until really some late next year.
Yeah, late 21 or early 22.
Yep.
So,
we're going to hear about it at one of the, you know, cons next year anyway.
Right. Yep. So maybe
they got to announce. October, they got to leave something for other announcements,
right? So,
and we've tried to do this before, but again, I'm still curious. How are we feeling about the other two of the four?
I was just going to say maybe we do some fan casting there. So, let's see.
No, I just had an idea. What about Cena for Thing?
John Cena?
Yeah,
I would rather see him as Thunderbolt Ross.
No.
Yeah. I would love to see him as Red Hulk.
No, Red Hulk, yeah. Not Thunderbolt, though.
Well, but they already have William Hurt as...
I know, and he's been that person forever.
And William Hurt's good. You know, I think they had Sam Elliott play him, too, which also was good. You know? But, yeah, we got to figure out who's going to be Thing.
Well, but Thing, you know, Thing could just be like he could be like a Mark Ruffalo, though, too. I mean, because it's all CGI.
It could be anybody.
It could be anybody. You're right about that. It literally could be anybody. I mean, all you really need is a voice and good.
You got to have somebody who moves in a believable way when a lot of their movements will be, you know, hidden and or captured.
Well, and that's another reason why I kind of wanted to be in somebody a little bit bigger, because, you know, you move through the world a little bit different when you take enough space than you do when you're...
How about Terry Crews?
That's an idea.
That's actually not bad. I feel like Terry might be a little slapsticky, but...
I think he's just old.
Yeah, but if we're talking CGI, it doesn't fucking matter.
Look, like, go check Terry's age. Terry's way older than you think he is.
I would say high 40s.
No, he's mid-50s.
Mid-50s. All right, well, let's see.
That's what I thought he was, 52. Yeah.
52.
But again, we're talking CGI.
Means before you see this shit, he'll be 56.
What has that got to do with CGI?
It means that the motherfucker's going to be old as shit. There's no way you could cast him to play a role like this at that age.
You know what name we like throwing around, though? What's his name? He's the dude that we were talking about playing a black Batman. Aldous Hodge. Is that right?
Aldous Hodge.
Yeah, Aldous Hodge, I like. That's a good look.
I like Aldous for Johnny Storm, though.
Yeah, but Aldous is like, I mean, isn't he like really tall? And
yeah, he's like 6'4".
Yeah. Again, we got to get away from the physicality of this character. They're not going to put him in a rock.
Yeah. So I would. This is why I'm sticking with. I would go Johnny Storm. I mean, if Invisible Woman's his sister, I go. I mean, I'm going a white dude there.
We can with the last Fantastic Four covered that wonderfully. They're adopted, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, and that's fine, but I think they probably stick to the comics, because keep in mind, Fantastic Four is the one property that has never been done well. Like, and we want to see it like the comics. You know, I mean, if you're gonna use the Thing, is, you know, he's a rock. It doesn't matter what color actor it is that's playing him. I mean, change Ben Grimm, it's not the end of the world.
I think the one with Jordan, with Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan, was good. I really do. I think it was just a different tone.
I would go with Goofy. Goofy white dude for Johnny Storm. That's what I would do. That's just my opinion. I mean, I didn't mind. I like Michael B. Jordan and everything. And if, you know, the highlight of that, if there is a highlight, and by the way, that's called Fan Four Stick.
Listen to you.
That movie is bad.
Yes.
A goofy white guy. I don't know. I mean, I thought Chris Evans was the best part of the first two Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah, no, Chris Evans is just good. Here's the thing, though. I think for the first time in history, we might be out of goofy white dudes. I mean, seriously, who are we going to have play
Johnny Storm? We are never out of goofy white dudes.
Okay, give me one. Who are we going to have play Johnny Storm?
You, like, here's the thing.
Andrew Garfield.
There are a million of these motherfuckers just waiting to take their shirt off and come on screen.
Oh, you know who would make a good Johnny Storm? I think he's probably too old, but the dude from This Is Us, Justin Hartley or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he would be, but he is a little too old.
He's a little long in the tooth.
Dude, I like that. He would be really good as Johnny Storm.
Yeah, no, he's you know, back in his Green Arrow days, you know, he's got a good comedic timing, easygoing demeanor. Like, I think he would have been a good one, but again, I think that motherfucker was like my age. He's too old to be Johnny Storm.
I think he's in his 40s.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yep, too old.
Yep.
Gotta figure something out, though.
43. Yeah.
I'm kind of stumped.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what to do here.
Yeah. Like, there's like the just like regular shit, you know, but if you're going to do somebody like Franklin, you know, you get an Asa Butterfield, like that type of shit, I have down way more than Johnny Storm or Ben Grimm.
Yeah, they might have to just go unknowns.
They could.
That's what they did with, that's not what they did with Tom Holland, but I mean, essentially he was not very well known.
Yeah, no. He's an up and comer. Do the same thing there. Go to London. Go get you somebody who can do it, because clearly can't get an American.
Ugh. Who's the dude that plays? He's too tall, though. How old is Jack Quaid?
No, he's built all along for that shit, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's too tall.
I think, but, yeah. I think he's like, fuck.
That's a goofy white guy.
He could do a Johnny Storm.
He's 6'1".
Yeah.
Is he? He seems taller.
Mm-hmm.
How tall is Carl Urban? Shit.
6'2", 6'3". No, he's 6'1",
I got it for you. And this would be a breakout role for him, too. Liam Hemsworth.
Liam.
He's got Marvel money in the family.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but he don't seem... He just... I don't know. I'm not... I don't feel personality from him. Like, Johnny Storm is all personality. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This would most likely be his breakout role, if you don't count. I mean, what the fuck else has he been in breakout wise?
Nothing.
So this would be.
I've seen him act. He doesn't. I don't.
No, no. Oh, he's not great. I agree. but you know, that's what I'm saying. It could be the role that he needs, is, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna let that one go. I think Dame is right.
So okay, so who plays Dune?
Unknown.
Who plays Dune?
Shit.
I mean, you could pick a lot of that. You could pick a lot of the dudes we picked for Thrawn here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Whoever don't get the Thrawn job, get that job. Because
I want more menace and less punchability, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they have to be wildly intelligent. They also got to be a little bit crazy. Like, yeah. I don't know if Cranston can do that. Because think about Doom. Doom's intelligence and his craziness are ultimately the thing that sets him apart, but always the thing that brings him down.
Right. No, if he was less intelligent, he'd be happier. If he was absolutely less crazy,
absolutely
more successful.
Yep.
It's the combination of the two then is the problem. But I think Cranston would make a great Doom. I'm not sure about him, honestly.
Is he too old for Doom though? Cranston?
Yeah.
Probably.
Because he's supposed to have gone to school with Krasinski. Yeah.
Krasinski. So it's gotta be Krasinski's age. God damn.
Oh, man. This is hard. Shit. And Doom, I think you probably give Doom to an established actor, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be a name. Got to be a name. All right, let me throw in my white actors Google search.
It's so funny. I'm thinking of, like, British actors. Right.
I mean, whatever.
So, the name
Latinarian. Good
name that's coming up here, and I think he might be. I don't know if he's too old or not. I think he is. I was gonna say Timothy Oliphant.
Mm-hmm. He would make a good Doom, but I do think he's probably.
I mean, that would be a crazy cast choice for that. You know who would be a good Doom, but they already gave him a character, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
This is how badass Marvel is, by the way. You heard the character he's playing, Christian Bale.
The God
Gore, the God Butcher.
Oh, yeah.
Who's like, I don't know anything about that character, but from what I could gather from just reading quickly about him, he's like a mix between Thor and Venom.
Okay, so.
He's like a symbiotic God killer.
Yeah, so I found my Johnny Storm.
Okay.
It's Taron Egerton.
I like it.
That's it. That's
good. Right, yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like it.
That's
like
my Johnny Storm. Yep. And
that's a killer cast. I mean, you're shelling out some big bucks for three of the four roles at that point.
So what?
I know. I'm just saying, like,
it's Marvel. We print money out here. Yeah. If it's not Tom Hardy being a fucking thing,
Zac Efron.
He you got to see his face. He's not gonna let you do that. Let's see.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of Johnny Storm, though. I mean, right. You still get to see his face. He's just on fire. I like Taron Egerton. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I really like.
And he's British. So, I mean, you technically could keep he and Emily Blunt British if you wanted to. I mean, you don't do that, but.
I really like Statham for Doom, but he's too old. But God damn it, he would be a good Doom.
Yeah, so, but I mean, can he pull that off, though?
So Robert Pattinson, maybe, or...
For Doom? Nah, bruh.
I think so? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that's going to hinge on whether people buy him as Batman.
Correct.
Well, and that's another thing. He is, Batman is a marquee character. If he pulls it off, he's going to be Batman. Like, you're not going to be able to see him in anything else.
Yeah, no. Nah, I mean, he's not going to be able to jump ship.
Nah. No, they're not. Look, they might let, you know, little ancillary characters go. They're not letting Batman or Superman go. Yeah. You're not going to see these cats show up in a Marvel movie. It's not
happening. You know who would be a good Johnny Storm if he wasn't already Flash is Ezra Miller.
Yeah, I'm off him. But I think Luke Evans could be Dr. Doom.
Ooh, I actually love that. I love that cast. I really like Luke Evans, though. So.
What is that again?
Did you ever see the Alienist?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen an episode. I don't watch it like religiously, but
I've seen it, and he's good at it. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, this dude. He looks like Doom.
No, I actually love that pick. That's what I was doing.
Love that. I think that's
and he's done a lot of the genre shit too. So
yeah, I'm telling.
Yeah, no, this is the pick. That's Doom.
So now imagine you have,
well done,
Krasinski, Blunt, Taron, and now Luke Evans is Doom. You still have a Ben Grimm, but you know if you want to spend the money for fucking Tom Hardy.
No, I mean, if you're loading it up, Ben Grimm, I mean, he'll be a recognizable but more affordable name.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I tell you, Doom, and I think, again, he might be too old, is Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, yeah. Mads was definitely a Doom for me.
That works for me, too.
He's getting a little longer, too, but Mads, he was my first choice. But I was trying to take age into consideration.
No, he too is Doom. That's a great
Christoph Waltz.
I think Mads is probably more, particularly after watching the way that he played Hannibal.
Right. Yeah, I think Christoph Waltz gets you in the same place as Mads, but
you're probably right. Like Christoph's crazy is good, but Mads has like a burning.
Liam Neeson.
How old is Christoph, though? Because he might be, Madge is a little old, but Christoph.
So Christoph ain't much younger.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Madge is like, what?
50-something.
55?
Yeah, probably.
Christoph is, let's see, Christoph looking at.
I like Luke Evans, dude. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
You know that shit. Oh, goddamn, Christoph Waltz is 64.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, he looks good, man. Shit.
Great.
Hats off to you, brother.
Great. Mads is probably right up there with him.
No, Mads is mid-50s.
He's 55. He probably is Doom, to be real. Mads is probably Doom. God, he's so good.
He's very good. He's very good.
God, I would love to see fucking Mads go against Krasinski. Oh, man.
Dude, you know who Mads would play a good, you know, he'd be a good Magneto too.
Yeah. Krasinski 6'3". He's 41 though. He's our age. He's young.
That's why Luke Evans is a good pick.
What the fuck am I doing with my life? Motherfucking John Krasinski is the same age.
Luke Evans is also 41.
Fuck.
Who else is 41?
Luke Evans.
Luke Evans. These motherfuckers be looking good, though, for their age.
Yeah, no, this motherfucker looks great.
Right.
But, you know, that's a Hollywood shit. Look, if I had a trainer, a dietitian, and
you ain't never lied, right? In time, in like 3 hours during the day,
all I had
to
do
right.
was work out and eat good.
Yeah, get right every day.
You couldn't see me in 6 months.
Patrick Wilson.
That's a good one. Patrick Wilson.
That's a good one. I don't feel like he is. He definitely can bring the menace, but I'm not feeling like super intelligent from Patrick Wilson. I always feel like he's a little stupid.
Yeah, particularly when I've seen him go off the deep end in the tall grass. I was like,
Yeah, that's. And I'm not saying he is stupid. I'm just saying he.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I know exactly.
But look, he's got the build. The motherfucker looks great. He got the build.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, there is a lot of shit coming to fucking Disney Plus.
Yeah, between Disney and HBO Max, you know, and they talking about raising their prices, and I'm gonna gladly pay that shit. So.
Yeah, what am I gonna do? Come on now.
Pay it.
That's it.
Yeah, shit. Ain't no other choice. Fucking pay it.
Like, oh, it's how much now? Okay, you, my bad, sir.
Right, exactly. I got how much to get in the club? Fuck. Here you go.
You know, so. Did you see that? I guess the price now of HBO Max, Netflix, Hulu, all, you know, Apple TV, all of it together is just what cable costs now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, cable has had to drastically drop their prices to play.
Drastically. Live. Yeah,
the problem what they do though is when you ask them how much high speed internet costs, that's where they make up their money.
Because my shit's definitely like $100 a month, but they just passed something that said you can no longer, they can no longer make you rent.
Oh no, pay the rent. Yeah, pay the rent thing, which is bullshit to start with.
We've been paying it for so long; they've been getting away with it for so long.
People I know.
Didn't even think about it. Because at one point we wanted to go buy our own router. But then when I was talking to my man who works for them, he was like, dude, the routers that we get are faster. Break, if something goes wrong, just give you a new one. And it'll be fast. Oh, look, we got a new router now. Up your speeds simply by having a better router. You don't have to buy a new one. Just send to your house. I'm like, yeah, but I'm paying for it. It's not free, motherfucker. I'm paying for it. But just weird conversations all around.
Yeah,
but I think this is it. This is good, right? Like, we've done enough here.
I think this is it.
Yeah.
You know, for the last episode of 2020, and what has been a huge, huge year for some, terrible year for others. Fuck Donald Trump.
we not letting it off on the gas on that one, huh?
Never, never. On site.
Mitch McConnell. We just playing Secret Service. Don't go get him.
No, I said Mitch McConnell on site. I hope his toes get frostbite in the summer.
Oh yeah, we can get Slowpoke the Turtle. You're right about that.
I was listening to fucking Chance the Rapper's verse the other day when this motherfucker said, "I hope you never get Fridays off, and you work at a Fridays that's always busy on Friday." That shit made my heart feel so good. That's what I want from Mitch McConnell.
Wow.
It's petty in all the right ways.
But it is funny.
Petty, that's real life. Fuck that dude.
Yeah, fuck him. On site. Oh, man. Not the president, though. We don't take shots at the president, regardless of how angry we might be.
No,
we're
not doing that.
No, we're not doing that. Appreciate y'all, man. Tone, it's an hour ahead for you.
Yes, sir.
Whew. Scott, you got a baby's about to turn one?
No, she turned one on the 20th.
She turned one on the 20th. Happy birthday to Vera.
Thank you.
Happy first birthday, young
man. I mean, now we have, you know, we've got even more baby toys all around the house, and I know that won't change, but
no, it's like, just going to grow exponentially.
Oh, yeah.
Keep the shoes on, Playboy. Keep the shoes on.
That's it. Fuck around, hit one of them Legos late at night. That should change your motherfucking life. God damn. She feel like childbirth. It's crazy.
You know what? No, but I'm looking forward to it though. So
it's good, man. Happy for you, brother.
But when I can marvel at her eating, you know, noodles one at a time, that's pretty good.
You're a good dad, man. Good Father. But I want to thank both of you guys just for giving me as much of your time this year as you've given me. I know it's just not always easy. I know it's not always ideal when we do it, but I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. We're going on, what, year 8, year 9? It's been a long time.
Damn, what year are we in? It's all good, though.
Right. I can't say what day it is. So, so thank you, you know, for giving me as much as you do. We'll be back in this bitch early 2021 because, as we already talked about, WandaVision coming out. So here we go.
Yeah, what's that? January 15th?
January 15th.
There you go.
So there you go. Y'all can look for us in late January, and we'll catch y'all then, man.
All right. Peace.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, happy holiday. Celebrate Kwanzaa. Honor, if you do holiday. Christmas, belated Chanukah. All of those.
No need an excuse. Just stay drunk until the 15th. It's all good.
True indeed. True indeed. That's it. Peace, y'all.
Don't do that. Peace.